A foundation to selecting an initial story set. Many people often talk about a foundational set of narrative Bible passages or Bible stories that can be memorized, engaged with, internalized, and applied by most people. From my perspective, such a set is essential for all preference communicators, and actually all communicators. It's essential to establish a strong foundation in their lives directly from Scripture. It should facilitate them to know who God is and to provide a foundational knowledge of His redemptive story that will encourage them to learn more. This set should share some basic components, but more than likely it will differ significantly in serving people from different worldview perspectives. The set listed at the end of this document serves only as one suggested starter with the aim to help people engage with the whole counsel of God. There is an overarching principle of which everyone must be conscious. Our goal in communicating with our audience is that we help the listeners to recognize that the God of the Bible is their Creator, that He wants to engage with them, and that He deserves that they wholeheartedly honor Him. They also need to understand the broken relationship with their Creator and His offer to restore that relationship. When they are able to recognize that, only then they can perceive it valuable to turn to the Creator. We communicators need to make sure that we do not motivate people to revere the document itself. The message of the document is what is important. Just because people revere a document, it does not mean that they simply will believe the document because they have it. It even may encourage them to make the document an idol that is only remotely connected to the message it holds. When people are not familiar with God, it may be very helpful to start with bridging stories, door openers, or redemptive analogies. At the same time, when they have a false understanding about God and the Bible, or their opinions have been negatively influenced, there may be a barrier. Then it is important to evaluate if one should initially start with a story that does not confront such issues. Prematurely addressing these issues could make an audience defensive or even automatically reject everything. If so, one should address such barriers later, when people are open to deal with those issues. On the other hand, there may be issues that need to be dealt with before people may be open to God and His Word. Ultimately, only God can guide us in making the best choices. Any issues should be addressed only as needed, before starting an overarching story set. So, we always need to consider using stories that can be used as bridges or redemptive analogies before an overview of the biblical narrative. Another option is to start with a story set that is drawing out scriptural truths from passages to give a basic overview of the biblical meta-narrative, or overarching story. It serves as an overview that reflects a basic skeleton set for people to engage with, requiring minimal background information. It contains about 15 stories that are completely from Scripture, but they are extracted from the passages involved and include only essential key concepts. They aim to address the foundational issues for people to start to connect to the broader scriptural narrative. They should not focus on any academic theological perspective, because this set is a foundation. This can be a great help for many people groups who have not been exposed to scriptural truth. Regardless which way we start, if we begin with too many detailed stories, it will become too much new material to process properly and to remember. The ultimate aim is to help people engage with God through the redemptive story of God. In that context, we should not rapidly add many new concepts and ideas, but we should consider repeating newly learned concepts, since repetition of any biblical principles serves to help people strengthen their faith. Further passages will then serve to help them grow over time. In this way, they can experience an unfolding of the beauty and richness of the whole counsel of God. That unfolding of their understanding of God is like a seed of a tree. Initially, we don't know anything about the tree. The flowers and fruit that are in a sense hidden in that seed. The seed first needs to sprout. Next, it grows to be a small plant that over time becomes a large tree. At one point, it will start blooming. Only after that, it will grow fruit. And inside that fruit, there is another seed. This completes the picture, and as such, it represents a learning process like the process of us, humans, learning about God. We need to make sure that people understand that the meta-narrative, or overarching story, is not about us meeting God's standard, but about having our relationship with God restored. Our life choices have consequences, and choosing our way above God's way, in essence our sinful actions, causes our relationship with God to be ruined, and it is not possible for us personally to restore that relationship. We need to realize that only God can restore our relationship with Him by giving us a second birth, which changes us. We need to come to the place that we recognize and accept that we cannot handle the understanding of knowing good and evil. We only can become reflectors of God's love in our lives through rebirth. Therefore, it is crucial that we clearly communicate this foundational message from God's Word. It is essential to consider this always in communicating the overarching story. Overarching story sets need to include that 1. The history of mankind started with God giving them life, and their life was good. It was just as God wanted it to be. It also needs to include that 2. God warned mankind, but they didn't heed God's warning. Instead, they embraced the choice of knowing good and evil, resulting in its consequences, which are a broken relationship, death, and many other things. The overarching story sets also need to include 3. God providing the only way for restoration of that relationship. Then overarching story sets also need to include 4. God providing a future return to it being good, just as God wanted it to be, where the issue of the choice of knowing good and evil has been fully dealt with. I believe that there are no absolute story sets. The following is only a sample set to provide a selection to choose from. Especially the third section has a wide array of possible stories. So I recommend that you don't limit the choice to my ideas, but discover which stories may connect with the worldview of the people that you are serving. The stories should be able to stand on their own with minimal introduction. Such stories also should not meet immediate linking to stories that have not yet been chosen. As needed, help people select initial stories that connect with their worldview perspective. Also, stories that are not too long and easy to remember. And stories that, in terms of content, should not have complex storylines. We should also help them select stories that need little or no additional theological, historical, and cultural background of the story setting, except for what has already been introduced. We also need to select stories that are in a logical sequencing. In other words, that they build on each other. And in many contexts, chronological sequencing is one relevant way of sequencing. Let's look closer at what an initial story set should include. First of all, the history of mankind started with God giving them life, and their life was good, just as God wanted it to be. We find this in Genesis chapter 1 and the first part of chapter 2. The second aspect that we should be looking at is that God warned mankind, but they didn't heed God's warning. Instead, they embraced the choice of knowing good and evil, resulting in its consequences, which include a broken relationship, death, and many other things. Two key passages that address this are from Genesis chapter 2. You can even start at verse 4 through 25 if you want to bring that together. But then also, not to forget, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 24. Now, sometimes people prefer to stop earlier in chapter 3, but it is important that we don't change the focus. Like, for example, we want to make sure that the responsibility of the choice of man is not put on the serpent or on God, or that it is left unclear. It is good to consider whether this story should be told in two parts, the first part through verse 13, and then sharing the story of the consequences from verse 14 onwards. Okay, the third part that the story set should include is that God provides the only way for restoration of the relationship. Now, this includes stories that show different aspects of God's character in context of his continually giving people a chance to accept being restored in their relationship with him. This happens through God providing forgiveness, which includes paying for their wrongdoing, restoring their honor, as well as giving them a second birth. We also need to make sure that this section includes stories that show people as individuals and groups when they continue to desire and pursue their own ways despite God's love for them, and they consequently have to deal with the results. It should also include stories that show people who recognize their Creator and accept by faith what He offers in love, and that He only can restore their relationship with Him. Now, this all comes together in God's provision of His coming to earth as Jesus, a human being, physically dying for the sins of all people, and subsequently coming back to life, thus overcoming death. This gives people the opportunity to accept by faith that a second birth is essential in restoring their relationship with God. Even though these stories include promises that God made, God's overarching story is not about the promises, but about our Creator and our relationship with Him. Unless issues in the stories we are using are addressed sufficiently for people to engage with in the proper context, it is better to leave specific themes for successive story cycles. Initially, focus only on the meta-narrative or the overarching story with a natural, cultural relevant progression that fits the worldview of those we are serving. This implies that we should initially avoid issues like covenants, law, dispensations, kingship, triune God, Satan's role, baptism, as well as day, place, and role of the Sabbath, and other feasts or holidays. In Genesis, we find two more stories that can be helpful. Genesis 4, 1 through 16, as well as Genesis 11, 1 through verse 9. Now, a psalm should be considered in light that not everything in it is a directive from God, but it may express the feelings of the author as he experiences issues from his personal life in relationship to God. As such, some of these could be very helpful in an initial story cycle. A few psalms that could be considered are Psalm 1, Psalm 19, Psalm 23, Psalm 36, Psalm 90, Psalm 93, Psalm 96, Psalm 100, Psalm 117, Psalm 127, Psalm 139, Psalm 143, as well as Psalm 145. In some cultures, proverbs are used widely. Sometimes they are used to help people connect and remember truths or principles that have been learned through, for example, stories or life experiences. Sometimes they completely stand on their own or are always used in connection to one particular story. Look, for example, at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, as one that could stand pretty much on its own. Or one could start at verse 20 to verse 33, where we see how some of the proverbs are linked together. We need to ultimately look at which proverbs fit within the context of the people we're serving. And we may be surprised that actually some of the biblical proverbs may be already part of their culture and worldview, and thus could provide a great bridge for accepting scriptural truth. Stories from Daniel may also work well, since it shows that God is indeed the God of all creation, and he works through people that are faithful to him. The story of Jonah is pretty long, but it can be divided, and it also has some deep lessons in it that pretty much can stand on their own. Further, one can look at Isaiah chapter 46, verse 5 through 13, as well as Nahum chapter 1, verse 1 through 15. Then, when coming up to the Gospels, one possible choice is to make a selection out of one Gospel that best fits the needs of the people. Sometimes we may also want to consider one of the chronologies in order to establish the authenticity of the people and or selected stories that we're using. Here's a selection of stories from the New Testament that may fit well within this category. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Matthew 20, verse 1 through 16. Luke 8, verse 4 to 15. Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. Also in Acts, we could use, for example, chapter 17, verse 16 through 31. From Romans, we could consider chapter 1, verse 16 through 32. Another passage to be able to learn from in a first cycle would be 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Then we can also consider Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. At this point, we have looked at three of the different aspects that are essential to be part of an overarching story. The fourth one is that God provided a future return to it being good, just as God wanted it to be, where the issue of the choice of knowing good and evil has been fully dealt with. We can find some passages in Revelation that may be helpful in this context. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 7, for example. Revelation 22, also verse 1 through 7. But only if the issue of the second death has been addressed properly.